urge and take me. Shit, trust tight, never slurred, lazy. Give a virgin the urge to rape me, nigga, please. Best friends really make great for enemies. My watch game, niggas can't wait for one of these. I see, nigga, this ain't no Rolex, it's an AP, nigga. I'm hot dog, catch up to me, nigga. Huh, couldn't resist. Aim for the stars and I shouldn't have missed. But I was riding on fumes, so I stopped by the moon. Now I'm sitting on the hood of this bitch, like thanks for the view. Waiting on thanks from a few, cause without me you wouldn't exist. You know that shit gave you the blueprint, don't forget. Cold as your phone on 0%, going up, now niggas showing up. Niggas where they up, they flow ain't soft. I'm taking off like Boeing on a big ass Boeing, getting hit like a coin toss. Too easy. I keep my head high. I got my wings carrying me. I don't know freedom. I want my dreams to rescue me. I keep my faith strong.
Another episode of the Omi D and Fish Show. I am Rodney Fisher. I go by Fish. And joining me for tonight's episode, for tonight's sports talk episode, is none other than the number one guy on the internet radio right now, Mr. Omi D.
Man, I should have made some bets on some tennis matches.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you gotta ask some friends in Vegas.
I mean, we've only been on the air for like 2 minutes.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean place some bets. I meant advise some friends in Las Vegas to play some bets on some tennis matches.
Like some consulting kind of work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Consulting. Consulting work.
Yeah.
Also
financial
us,
consulting.
Also joining us tonight, of course, is Coach Rob.
Hey, how's it going out there, sports world? Dab on them, Cam. Oh, my bad. I had that Cam enthusiasm.
Sorry.
My bad.
Sorry, that was what's up.
Yeah,
dab on them.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about NBA, NFL, all that good stuff. So we want to make sure you guys go back to ntxgame.com, download some of the past episodes, check us out. Here we talking about and follow the show. Follow Omi D on Twitter at the777kid and follow me at Rodney R. Fisher. So
what's up?
Let's jump right into it. I want to talk about, I want to kind of be a prisoner of the moment right now. I saw an amazing basketball game last night. I saw something I've never seen in the NBA so far. I saw LeBron James get beat bad last night.
Yeah, I saw the highlights on that, a sports set.
Bad.
What was the final score, like 132-98?
A lot to a little.
Yeah.
It was a lot to a little.
Has anyone ever put 132 points up on LeBron?
It's happened before. Not on LeBron. This is his worst loss in his career.
That's what I was going to say.
132-98. They were up by 40 at times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and who they play? In case everybody doesn't know, who they play?
Golden State.
The Splash Brothers were in town. And you know what?
Honestly, go for it.
You just talk about it.
Let's throw the Splash Brothers. Okay. They ain't the Splash Brothers no more. It's Steph Curry. Because Klay is not the same Klay that got that Splash Brother.
Did he get married or something?
Yeah, he got he got regular. Yeah,
he's had some games this year where he's done very, very well. Remember that time when Steph Curry was out for a little bit of time, the little games he's missed? Klay Thompson stood up there and played well. But other than him, you still got Iguodala. You still got Green. You still got Barbosa, who came off the bench last night and had a good game.
I'm going to tell you who the key piece to their team is besides Steph. Green.
Yeah, Draymond Green
he's that piece because he can shoot, he can drive, he can rebound, he can score, he can defend, and for his size. I mean, he's athletic. That's the focal. If he go down, that team would have a problem. But other people, they can, you know, mix and mingle and get stuff together. But I think that's a huge focal point for that team's success.
You know,
argue with that.
Right.
I think it's pretty good.
And when we opened this up, we talked about who they play. I mean, they play LeBron James. Okay. LeBron James plus minus last night was a negative 35.
Yeah.
Negative 35. Have you ever heard LeBron James having negative numbers in the stat column ever before? He finished with only 16 points. I mean, it was bad.
He was completely flustered.
Yes.
He was so flustered. I don't think I've ever seen him like that. I don't think I've ever seen him like that. And it was just almost to a point like the entire team, I'm not going to say had given up, but they were defeated.
Now, I'm going to tell you what the problem was. Why LeBron is so frustrated and why they got beat like that. Coaching.
Yeah.
David Blatt cannot coach.
I'm going to get into that.
I was telling somebody that the other day.
That's why they lost. They got out coached.
Hold on. Let's be honest. Okay. Well, we're talking about the coach. LeBron has never been coached. Ever. He's never been coached. He didn't get coached in, the AAU. You don't coach a kid that size, as big as he was at AAU. He never got coached really in high school. Didn't go to college. Didn't play under no great coach in college. Look at the coaches he's had. He's had David Blatt.
He got coached in Miami. But listen, that was the turning point.
The first year head coach. The video guy that made. Hey, it wasn't Pat Riley coaching.
I don't think it's so much as a player like that's not coached, but I think they're guided. And I think it's a difference. You look at someone like Tim Duncan and the relationship he has with Popovich, or you look at, Kobe with Jerry Buss. You look at, Michael Jordan with Phil Jackson. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, well, did Phil even really coach the team? But those coaches and those star players had a relationship. And it's not, I don't think, and I'm no professional. I've never played in the NBA, but I'm just saying someone of that caliber, like everybody says, you don't coach them or they're not coachable. I just think you guide them. And that's kind of what David Blatt is not. Like, what are you going to tell me?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, what background do you have?
And for that reason, you can't blame Coach Blatt, because LeBron, if he's wanted to, could have a lot of coaches in the league right now. When he went to Miami, could ask for a coach. Went to Cleveland, went back home. He could have easily asked them to, hey, let Blatt go, and I want this coach in there. Mm-hmm. But LeBron wants to coach. He coaches his team. He decides when he comes out the game, when he comes in. He was blowing out substitutions last night because he wanted to be out there on the floor. He's the coach, so you can't blame Blatt, I don't think.
That's why he is. And you can blame Blatt. Blatt is the blame. You were hired to be the head coach, the manager, the person that runs this team. If LeBron's running it, that means he's relinquished his leadership role to a player.
But then LeBron want that?
It's not about what LeBron want. When you look at championship team, like you spoke of the Spurs, Popovich.
Right.
He don't care what those players want. He knows what they need. But so he's going to give them what they need, whether it be a slap on the back or a slap on the butt.
Right.
And that's the difference with Blatt. He's not a motivator. He can't get – LeBron's not going to listen to him.
Well, a lot of coaches are not Popovich, though. That's a different
– And that's why they don't have championships. That's what I'm saying. He needs a coach. When I say Popovich, I mean, you have coaches that bring – a true coach is going to bring the best out of you. They're going to be able to get under that layer of skin that no one else can. LeBron doesn't have that at all.
Well, speaking of bringing the best out of you, the guy that signed for 100 some million, Kevin Love, had 3 points last night.
Get him.
He had 3 points last night.
I disagree with that move from the start. I feel like with Andrew Wiggins, LeBron, and Kyrie from the beginning, that was a wrap right there. You got a 1, a 2, and a 3 that's the top one, two, and three in the world, that would have killed. So I was against that trade in the beginning. Kevin Love, he's what he is. And we see what he is. He's not that man.
Yeah, Kevin Love was terrible last night. 1 for 5 from the field, 1 for 3 from the 3-point line for his only bucket, his 3 points he made. That was it. That was all you got from Kevin Love. And he couldn't guard anybody. We know he can't guard Draymond Green. He's got no defense. You know, and to me, this is LeBron's team. I put a lot of this on him.
Yeah.
But he's also going up against, let's be honest here, Steph Curry, who is kryptonite for this team. I mean,
he's kryptonite for the league.
Steph Curry walked in that arena owning that arena.
Yeah.
He's won a championship in that arena, right? He made a comment before the game about, you know what? I hope when I go back, the locker room still smell like champagne.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is his arena. He came in there and he did it to LeBron once again and did it bad in front of his whole crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a statement game. That game meant a lot for him and that team.
Yeah, but I'm really glad it happened because I'm anxious to see what the rebuttal is going to be by the Cavs for this game when they meet up again. I'm really anxious to see what type of Cavs team will come out the next time they meet because that was embarrassing.
When is the next time they meet?
It's got to be a playoff game next time they meet. So
got to be the final 5 or 7. Oh yeah, it's gonna be a sweep. Maybe one. Might win one.
No, that was one game. Because if you look at the previous game, they were close. Maybe that was one game.
Okay, but the Cavaliers are to be the best team in the East, right? They are 0-3 against the top teams in the West. They lost to Golden State twice. They lost to San Antonio bad.
Who are the best three teams in the East right now?
I mean, right now it's all about the Cavs.
Right? Raptors number 2. They only a few games behind. The Raptors are number 2.
But this team, even with LeBron, even with the, you know, Kyrie Irving, that you talked about Kyrie, he had 8 points last night.
Yeah.
He got outplayed by Steph Curry. I mean, yeah. Steph Curry hit 35 in 28 minutes.
But see, and then too, we got to remember them playing together. This season, they just now got together. So, and that's what LeBron in his press conference, he kept saying, I keep telling y'all, we're a young team and we got work to do. He said, ain't nothing changed. And it hasn't. He keeps saying we're young because he knows from the coaching aspect to the player aspect, they young. He got a bunch of extras. It's him, Kyrie, and a bunch of extras.
But
real talk.
But let me ask both of y'all. What is the expectation for the Cavaliers team, for this team?
Championship,
right?
Period.
Win the East.
The expectation for LeBron should be what?
Championship.
Dominate every game, right?
Well, see, not necessarily. Well,
I can't say right now. I think when he was younger, probably, yeah. But I think with the move coming back to Cleveland, that was more of a strategic move. Like, he's more along the lines willing to build a team. Like what he said last night. They've got growing pains, basically. Yeah, They've got to go through. I think maybe a younger player would be like, you know, this is terrible. You know, this is that and the other. But he realizes, like, we're still good.
Right.
We got pieces.
One game.
But, shit, I mean, that's them, and we still number one in the East. So, yeah. That's one game. They got us.
And that's why what I like about LeBron now, because, like, he obviously, I try to stay even keeled. You have to stay even keeled. It's a 82-game season. You go crazy over one game? No, you can't because you're going to have the nights.
Y'all are acting like y'all really give them a chance to beat this team.
I do.
In the finals.
I do.
So you said championship is the expectation, right?
Yeah. And some people expect champagne when they get home, but they got Kool-Aid. But I don't think they're going to win if they get there. And they have to face possibly San Antonio or Golden State.
Right.
But that's me.
I feel like Golden State and San Antonio are going to wear each other out. I think they're going to wear each other out to the point where it's going to give the Cavs an edge coming out the East. Because I don't think they're going to have to fight as hard. To get out of the West, you're going to have to fight. Because we're forgetting about the Clippers who have started winning now.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's really my sleeper team. Because they loaded.
Yeah, I know they started winning without Blake Griffin.
Yes,
Blake Griffin played since Christmas.
Yep.
Like,
because all them shots he was getting, now they got to distribute. So they playing more like a team because he get the ball and hold it.
Yeah. Yeah, he do. He's got his offensive game a little bit better together as well, too. You know, I don't give the Warriors team really to me is like what they're doing is legendary. I mean, this particular season, the many games they won, mm-hmm. as well as their performing, the San Antonio Spurs are right there with them. Only two games back, and that's unbelievable as well. And the Cavs, they got to figure out what they're going to do. Now the trade rumors are coming back. Kevin Love, do they trade him? But you just signed this guy to a max deal. There is no trade out there. No one's going to trade you for a player that, and let's be honest, a little bit overrated. You know, I'm going to say that because he was the best player on a bad team. Never made it to the playoffs on his own with the Minnesota Timberwolves. They tried to surround the team around him. He's averaging a double-double every night, and he can't get to the playoffs, and now we're expecting him to do what with the Cavs? What exactly? You know?
The best I could expect from him was a role player, like at some point to – but I think everybody – a lot of people, I'm not going to say everybody, had the expectation of him to be a superstar in Cleveland.
He got a big deal.
Yeah, he got the money to be a superstar.
He's on a lot of commercials. He's out there.
A sixth man.
And that's where, and I'm glad when you said that, because I feel like he has that superstar in him. He is. I mean, look at it in his average, you know, previously, but that's where you revert back to coaching. See, that's the difference. If you look at Golden State, the way they're coached, they put their players in the best possible position to be effective. Same way with Spurs. Same way with the Mavericks half of the night. You know, like, you see it with the coaching, right. You know? Yeah, right, you right. see it. But when it comes to Cleveland, it's get LeBron the ball, let him work. Get Kyrie the ball, let him work. That's the offense.
I tell you one thing else I noticed, too, before we take a quick break, and that's Steph Curry is really taking over the entire basketball world right now.
Yeah.
I mean, when I went to that game, he played the Mavs. He didn't even play that game. There were actually people in the stands with Davidson jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, not a Davidson jersey.
Yeah. College jersey.
I haven't seen people do that since, like, remember people used to wear LeBron's high school jersey?
Yeah.
Or Jordan's right. college okay. jersey?
Right. Yeah, they were wearing Davidson jerseys.
Yeah.
Multiple ones. I mean, that right there
with
says
the
a lot.
Red J's.
And he owns that, you know, that Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, okay?
Oh, man.
He won a championship in that arena. He then blew out LeBron in that arena. He owns that place.
Bro, from a marketing standpoint, Steph Curry is a gold mine. He's a mixed kid.
He's mild-mannered.
You know, baby face. You know, he's marketable. He's successful. You know, he's like the, at some point, if Golden State can keep up, and I'm going to say this word, and it's the big D word in sports, a dynasty, yeah. I'm going to say, string together some years of championships like the Patriots have, I think he'll be kind of seen as the Tom Brady of the NBA.
I'm going to make a bold statement, and as much as of a LeBron fan that I am, it's the truth, but if he continues to do the things he's doing, if he continues to play, let's say the next five seasons, the way he's playing now, he's, you know, we had Jordan, we had Kobe, then LeBron. I think LeBron's stint might be cut a little short.
Yeah.
And Steph.
But
Steph is the truth, man.
He's
the truth.
LeBron is worldwide, but I think Steph Curry is just everybody likes him, bro. Man, he's so likable. I haven't really even heard anybody like, man, I can't stand Steph Curry.
The new Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Yeah. He's so arrogant. Like nobody ever says that.
And to be quite honest, he signed to Under Armour, okay?
Yeah.
If he was signed to Nike, he'd be just as big as LeBron right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because Nike's a big marketing machine. Under Armour's not that, you know.
But they get
kids ain't walking around with Under Armour's on. But I do see.
That's the thing. Honestly, now, because of Cam Newton and Steph Curry, half of my Little League football team were Cam Newtons. If you go to any Little League games, half of those are going to have on custom Cam Newton. I'm talking about the flag kids.
Yeah.
Same way with Steph Curry. He just had a new shoe drop. I ain't going to lie. I looked, I said, I might well wear these.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, they fly.
They fly.
That's a big statement,
They fly. Like, Under Armour has definitely came in and changed the sports apparel game. They have to.
Only thing that I've heard somebody say about Steph Curry that they didn't like, some woman told me that she's like, his daughter's kind of arrogant. I'm like, she's like four.
How are you arrogant at four?
She's four.
She's hating.
She's hating. Why are you hating on this little girl?
His daughter.
I'm like, she's having a great time. She's being a little kid.
I guess if she was his daughter at four, she'd be totally different.
Yeah.
She was, I don't want to speak, Daddy.
Right.
Yeah. I love you.
Yeah.
We're going to take us a quick break. We come right back. We got more to talk about. We're going to jump into some NFL and a little tennis cheating that you alluded to at the top of the show. We'll be right back right here on Omi D and Fish. To Omi D and Fish, I want to remind you guys to go to the website ntxgame.com, download some of the shows, and interact with us, read some stories, watch some good sports as well too. Also, this second half of our show is being brought to you by Jay Hodge Realty. Make sure you hit my boy Jay Hodge up, because I know you want a house, you're tired of living in an apartment, you're tired of having to walk upstairs, coming from Walmart with all them bags, got to go three flights of stairs to get to your crib. Buy you a house, okay?
Yeah.
Get real, buy you a house. Holler at my boy Jay Hodge, 214-417-4297. 214-417-4297.
Jay Hodge.
Get one of them houses.
Man,
yes, sir.
I might have to holler at that man.
Yeah, Hodge House, get you one of them.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more sports. We're going to get into some NFL stuff and talk about this Denver game and a big game in Arizona as well, too. But first of all, this story kind of took me by surprise a little bit, and it makes sense to me now, but it just caught me off guard. There's this whole tennis kind of scandal that's going on where, you know, a guy came out and said that, you know, he was offered money to fix a tennis match.
And 200K.
Apparently, this happens like all the time in tennis.
200 racks.
Tennis is, you know, it's
not a bad day's work.
it was funny though, when you think about it, it's like, wow, that really makes sense, because what other sport can you fix by yourself without nobody else knowing?
It's a one-on-one sport.
It's a one-on-one sport. You can do it really easy.
That and horse racing.
And they say that tennis is the second most bet-on sport in the world.
What's the
soccer's number one?
Okay.
And tennis is number two, because at any time, like right now, there's a match going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's always some tennis.
Yeah, it's always somebody playing some tennis. Yeah.
And then you can, it's pretty, I ain't gonna say pretty easy, but if you know tennis, it's not as hard to predict winners. It's just, you know, spreads like everything else. But if you know tennis, it's not hard to predict winners.
We're gonna talk after the show.
Yeah. I know a little tennis.
I mean, can't believe that these tennis matches that are worth nothing, you can go online and bet on right now.
Man, technically, yeah, I've seen it before on a friend's computer one time.
Yeah.
They was placing bets online, and they were showing me everything that you could bet on, and I did see tennis matches, and I was kind of shocked, because you can bet on everything, of course, from motor car racing and everything, but tennis was on there. And I had no clue who all these people were. I mean, just billions of lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I never really, seeing it, I never thought about that being the number two bet sport in the world.
I couldn't believe that, man. They said that some of these matches that people are playing for, like $200 prize money, it's thousands of dollars being bet on these games. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a game it's a game going on right now. It's a match you can bet on right now, somewhere in the world that you can bet on.
It's good odds.
I mean, that's amazing to me.
I mean, think about what's the odds on a tennis match? Like you said, it can't be that hard. Like, once you start kind of watching it and kind of picking up and learning the players, you know who's going to dominate.
Yes.
Like horse racing again.
Yeah.
Just watching the papers.
Yeah. You know what you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's money
out
there, man.
You learn every day. And that's
crazy. But I think it would be so hard being a tennis player. It's certain calls, of course, you can, that was out. But now the way it is with video and, you know, the courts and technology, it seemed like it would be almost impossible. Like the way tennis is, but I guess if you're doing those, you know, the country club games that's not televised and stuff like that.
One of these guys was the guy that said it, that's right here, is men's number one Novak Djokovic.
Yeah. Oh, so those are major.
Yeah, hold on. In 2007, he refused a $200,000 offer to lose a first round match in Russia.
Okay.
Now
I thought y'all were saying the line judge or something of that nature.
No, the
so
player.
They're trying to, so like boxing. So they're trying to buy a player.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, I can see that.
I guess boxing is another sport you can fix by yourself.
Yeah. Now, see, I didn't get it at first.
Taking a dive is way more noticeable sometimes.
Right.
But like fixing a tennis match, for you to lose a tennis match,
you can easily
hit it out of bounds, let one go by,
You just have a bad day. You hit them into the net.
Yeah.
You know, cause you still play on your level, but it just, man, none of my shots.
Yeah. Break a racket or something.
I know. I used to, when I was younger, I used to do a little hustling on tennis courts at Keys Park in high school.
You a little tennis player?
Yeah. I went to college playing tennis.
Coach Rod can play tennis.
Yeah, he did that too in college.
We're going to stick to tennis right now.
There's other things he did in sports. So say that for a later conversation.
But yeah, I would go up there and I would intentionally, you know, have a bad game warming up or something just so somebody could say, hey, you want to play? I say, yeah, I want to play. What are we playing for? And
So you've hustled.
So I kind of fixed my own match.
After looking at that dude on the inkwell.
Yeah.
That dad on the inkwell.
Yeah, man. It made me some college money, I tell you that much.
That's all good.
Well, you know how you live.
I don't know. So let's jump into some NFL talk real fast, fellas.
Oh, yeah.
The conference championships are here. They are finally time. It's going to be a big day Sunday. I'm going to be sitting in Kansas City, Missouri.
I'm going to be sitting in Denver, Colorado. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
We're going to talk about that, man.
You know what? Okay, go ahead.
Before we get there, let's start with the NFC first. Is that okay? We start there.
Cool.
Saw the NFC. Cool. And let's go with
I'm excited
this.
About that too. Yeah.
Cam Newton, dabbing them boys. He did what he's supposed to do. They won the game.
I'm going to do this whole segment dabbed up.
They came out 31-point lead in the first half.
That's what I said was going to happen. I predicted that.
On Seattle, blowing Seattle out. And then Seattle comes back and scores, what, 24 points?
Yeah.
24 points in the second half. Yep. I mean, even though they won the game, they did win the game. To me, that's a problem. That right there is a big problem. You can't let a team score 24 unanswered points in the second half of a football game. You can lose a game like that.
You can. 31 is a lot. But that's the thing. You can, but they didn't. And football, just like basketball, is played in spurts. The thing is, Carolina had a whole first half for a spurt.
Yeah, they did.
And Seahawks had a whole second half for a spurt. They spurt just got cut a little short.
But those guys, the wide receivers just didn't all of a sudden start getting open.
No, those throws. Those were spectacular throws.
Oh, they were great throws.
Oh, that's the thing. Russell Wilson, that's the reason they were down 31-0. If you look, he threw the ball right to Luke Kuechly.
Yeah.
And then he threw the other pick. Just total sporadic, thinking about future and Sierra. I don't know what was going on, but you know they said Carolina was playing like future songs all doing the warm ups and stuff. Man, so his mind wasn't right. But he was totally sporadic. I mean it may have worked. Mm-hmm. It psychologically.
I mean but
he is a youngster.
I mean, they can't go into this game like that, though. They can't go into the game letting a team score 24 points.
Man, come on, bro. That's the Seattle Seahawks. Let's not act like the Seattle Seahawks were the Washington Redskins of the playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks are a quality team.
Yeah. Back-to-back Super Bowl.
These are no slouches. Yeah, these guys have been there before.
You're right.
You know? Now, there's there's two things about this game that I have to bring up. Number one, Cam Newton was in this game, and this guy is a winner. Okay? There's some things I've learned by watching football. There are some people in sports that are just winners. They want to win, and this is especially highlighted at the quarterback position in NFL football.
Like Russell Wilson.
He's a winner. Cam Newton is a different kind of winner. Cam Newton, he's won his entire life. He was a winner in high school. He was a winner in Little League. He was a winner in college, junior college, back to normal college, NFL, had some rough seasons. And then, number two, these guys bounced you out the playoffs last year when y'all were getting hot.
Right.
A winner doesn't forget that. And someone like Cam Newton took that personally.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy that he is, he energized that entire team.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been playing at a level. And I bet when they found out they were going against Seattle this time, they knew.
They're ready.
I told my dad before the game started, 11:50, the score is going to be 31-17. He was like, Carolina won't put up a touchdown. I said, I'll bet you money. I said, 31-17 at the end of the game.
Wow.
31-24.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. I mean, you're right. Sometimes winners just win, right?
Hey, that's what
Cam is a winner.
He's a winner. And winners can will other people to win.
He was very animated on the sidelines. He was talking to players, getting everybody riled up.
That's what you want.
Being a leader out there.
Yeah. That's what you want, especially from a quarterback.
Yeah.
You have an entire team of people, defense and offense. And it's not just like basketball. It ain't five of us. How many people compose of an entire team? 53 people that you have to, one guy can energize and motivate.
Right.
Vince Young at the USC, Texas Rose Bowl.
That's a great game.
That guy motivated at that point. Was a motivator, and he motivated and willed that team to win. Cam Newton's the same way, man. Saint Tom Brady, I will give him that. There's speculations of cheating and stuff like that, but I'm going to say this much. He's a winner. Ben Roethlisberger, same way. Some people just want to win that bad.
Let's talk a little bit about the team they're going to be facing, the Arizona Cardinals, who
talk about a game.
So I got to be quite honest here, okay? Ooh. So that Saturday night, I went to the movie, saw a great movie with the family, came out of the movie, and I just see a big crowd of people at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on at the bar? You know, shots, what's going on? So
yeah, come get in.
TVs are on, and they're showing the first replay of the catch.
Which one?
Which one?
The Hail Mary catch.
Which one? That's the cold part. That's the cold part.
The one that tied it
the
up.
Fourth
to
down the, or the fourth touchdown? Down or
the touchdown. Yeah, yeah,
the touchdown.
Okay.
The touchdown.
I don't know which one was like, more impressive.
What just happened?
Well, you know what was impressive about it to me? Of course, we've seen Aaron Rodgers hurl a Hail Mary, say that three times fast, this season. But what was impressive about that one was just what Aaron Rodgers said. He's like, I just threw it. He said, I just threw it in that direction. And if you looked at that Hail Mary, everybody else was on the other side of the field.
Yeah.
And Jeff Janis just happened to be the guy that was out, once again, outside of the freaking end zone.
Right.
And once again, backed his way right in front of a defender and pulled down a Hail Mary. Awesome.
I kid you not. I have witnesses. I can get them in studio. I called that play.
I was there.
Yeah.
We was at the game.
I called.
I was there watching it.
They showed 82. That's who caught the Hail Mary against Detroit.
Your mom was like, it's over.
Yeah. And what I say?
He's like, nope, that's Aaron
Rodgers. I said, they gonna kill 82. And Rodgers gonna go to 83.
Right.
He went to the opposite side of the field. Touchdown. I said, what? Hey, I said.
You called the fourth down.
I called the fourth down.
Like, it's over. He's like,
man. That's Aaron Rodgers.
He threw that bad. And you know what messed it up was, he went three times to the same receiver on those Hail Marys.
Yeah.
Three times to Jeff Janis. The first time on the third down it missed.
Yeah.
But then the fourth down went right back to him and he caught it. Still in double coverage and then right back to him again. Yep. It was amazing.
That's all he had. That's all he had. He had to brine it.
Yep.
he had to pull a Roethlisberger.
But
what I did see also after that Hail Mary touchdown catch, put in overtime, I saw them give the ball to Fitzgerald every play. Every play.
It was only two.
It was nothing else to do. I mean, they missed him on that fade route in the end zone. And then they did a shovel pass to him and he scored a touchdown. I mean, for Bruce Arians, that coach, to say, you know what? We going to our best player right now, period. I don't care what the play call is. Give him the rock.
What I've been saying, coaching. Yep. So every time we bring up winning and winners, coaching. Bruce Arians. He knew. I gotta go to the man who won it.
He's hot.
The man who won it.
You know what I like about the catch? The first catch, not the shovel pass, but the catch when he caught it and got down the field.
When he wheeled his way down that field.
When he caught it and he turned, bro, you could just see it, like his shoulders set. And I just knew. I was like, he's about to go somewhere.
Remember, I got up and started running with it.
I'm just sitting here like, I was surprised, honestly, he didn't get in the end zone.
Yeah. He grabbed that leg. I said, that's a cold tackle.
If he wouldn't have pulled out that tackle, that would have probably been the greatest play of the playoffs.
Oh, man. That's the thing.
That was
the best game of the playoffs.
So far, the best ending to a playoff game.
That wins hands down.
You couldn't ask. Yeah. Like watching that game, that was a game at the end. I can say I was truly satisfied and went home happy.
Right.
Even though knowing football was done, I was like, that was a football game.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you want. You want the unthinkable happened and it always happens. And this is why it's the playoffs. In the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's what I do love about football. It's a long game. It's a long game.
That's why you apply it to your life.
Yeah. Man,
say football
ain't over.
Real.
It ain't over, right?
Never. Even when it's over, it ain't over.
It ain't over.
Hey, what did it say you can dispute?
Yeah, right. And then now they'll move on to play Cam.
Yeah.
The game is going to be in Carolina. Okay, so let's talk about it, guys. I mean, You got the number one team in the NFC versus the number two team. I think it's really the right game to have. I mean, two best teams.
I'm gonna tell you the matchup I want to see the most.
I know what you're gonna say.
Norman and Fitzgerald.
I was just thinking. Oh
man, I can't wait.
You got to give it to Fitzgerald, man. He's played against everybody.
Right, but the thing is, Norman is a gnat.
He's annoying.
A pure gnat. He's going to stay on you. He's going to keep talking. He's going to keep coming hard for four quarters. And Fitzgerald
is a pure pro.
Right. That's why I can't wait to see everything. But
y'all forget how long he's been playing. He's played some really good corners.
Remember Andre really Johnson and Finnegan?
Yeah.
It's certain corners. That can get up under the guy you would never think skinned.
Just hate him.
And I think out of this season, anybody in the NFL, if there's one corner that can get under any receiver skin that I would give a shot at, he about to face him this week.
That's the matchup you're looking at. What are you looking at?
I'm going to be a nerd here, and I'm going to go with statistics. I noticed a trend in this year's playoff bracket. All of the top-seeded teams, minus one, and I think it was really a fluke that Green Bay was not the top seeded team and Minnesota went on. I think that should have been flipped. But if that was the case, even statistically speaking, just that one, all the top seeded teams are winning. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because all of the top seeded teams are truly the better teams this year.
Yeah.
And in this, granted, the component that I'm watching is Carson Palmer versus that entire Carolina defense. Mm. Because he did not really impress me against Green Bay.
Right.
And Green Bay's defensive secondary was a little beat up. They didn't have the stars, the linebacking core, the defensive backs, and even the defensive line that Carolina has. And Carson Palmer is not he's doing great out there, but he's not a Cam Newton.
Okay, but that was a big game for him to have, to win a playoff game, you know, after, you know, he's been in the league for a long time. Maybe he's got them jitters out now, you know, maybe they're gone. The matchup I'm looking for is going to be basically Cam Newton and that Arizona defense. That's what I'm looking at, because Cam controls the game. I mean, he's gonna be on the field longer than any other quarterback out there. He's gonna run the ball. He's gonna throw the ball. I'm looking to see what do they do. How do they decide to guard Cam Newton?
You can't make him one dimensional. That's the thing.
So you want me to throw four touchdowns?
That's like saying we're gonna make Steph one dimensional. We're gonna make LeBron one dimensional.
So that's how you beat them.
But you have to tie their arm behind them, and even then, you still, bro. Come on, let's look at this honestly. Cam Newton is the prototype for almost the perfect quarterback.
Yeah.
Dude is tall.
He's a creative player. Right.
Yeah, he's a creative player. He's 250. Right. He can run.
He's a linebacker.
He can throw.
I agree.
So, okay, so you don't want me to throw. Cool, I'm going to burn you for 20, 30 yards and just keep burning you. Okay, you want me to throw? I'm going to throw for four touchdowns, dab on you, and give away some souvenirs.
So we're not giving Arizona no chance at all.
Honestly, I don't. I feel like it's going to be a good game, but Arizona struggled with a bad Green Bay team. Green Bay is a bad, for its statistics, like Omi said, this was Aaron Rodgers' worst year. Mm-hmm. You know, in running game, you got Fat Lacy.
Who are they?
You see what I'm saying?
They got old man. Jordan.
Exactly. Hey, so
I'm picking Carolina to win also, so don't get me wrong.
When I look at how Arizona struggled to beat that team, and then to let Aaron Rodgers do that, Carolina wouldn't have let Aaron Rodgers do that at the end. I wouldn't have said Aaron Rodgers going to do that if that was Carolina's defense, and that's the difference. On the offensive side and the defensive side and special teams, they've lost the running back.
Yep.
They've lost the honey badger.
Yep. That's a
you
huge
lost
loss.
Two honey badgers gonna really hurt.
Yeah.
Really hurt. I don't give them a chance.
We watched two blitzes where we were just like,
yeah, honey badger would have got there. Because you can see the safety moving in slow motion.
Right. Yeah.
Cameron's going to kill that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a read option nightmare.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I think we all going for Carolina to win this game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going for Carolina to win Super Bowl.
Look.
Well, hold on. Before we get there, let's talk about the AFC real quick.
Hold on. Before you even go there, I'm looking for Carolina to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Continue.
You heard it here first. So.
Continue.
AFC side of things, talk a little bit about that. Of course, the Patriots beat up on the Chiefs. You know, we ain't got to spend a lot of time talking about that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But we do want to talk about the Broncos because we got a lot of Bronco fans that listen to us. Omid, Mr. Denver Bronco, will be in Denver for the AFC Championship game live in Denver.
Yeah.
But before we talk about that game, what'd you think about the game they had against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
You know what? To all the naysayers out there before the game started, talk about Pittsburgh this, Pittsburgh with the coaches, Pittsburgh statistically, Pittsburgh grinds out playoff wins, blah, 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 suck it. All right? The Broncos, AFC Championship, I told you that was going to happen. Don't doubt me.
Okay, but you had some doubt.
I completely
okay, but before we went on the air, I asked you a point blank question.
Yes.
Any point in that game, did you feel like it was time to pull Peyton Manning? And you said
yes. I said we should have pulled Peyton Manning. I was thinking about at the half. Because you know what? I was not impressed. And just watching him throw, and he's throwing like 10-yard passes, bro, but he's putting everything into a 10-yard duck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on, man. Like, and then he had that one 15-yard pass to Demaryius Thomas.
Right.
You know, and everybody's like, yeah, Peyton. I'm like, bro, that was a 15-yard pass.
But he did win the game.
But come on, bro.
He did win the game, right?
The defense won that game.
And the running game.
And the running game run the game. Let's be honest. When you throwing a 10-yard duck, I'm not a quarterback. But if you're in the NFL and you're about to go up against some high-octane defenses like the New England Patriots, I'm not saying that the Panthers are on a high-octane defense because I've just said that they're going to win the Super Bowl, especially if they have to go up against Denver and an ailing Manning.
Right.
But, I mean – Pittsburgh was a beat up team.
Right.
Completely beat up.
Right.
The defense kept them in that game. And yeah, there was a couple of mistakes.
I agree.
But Peyton Manning, bro, at some point, you're going to have to throw a ball 30, 40 yards down the field.
Well, let's talk about the real issue at hand because now they do play in Denver. They got the number one seed, but they play Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
Oh, they'll win that game.
Brady and Manning Brady's 11-5 against Manning in the regular season.
But what is he in Denver?
2-2. In the playoffs and 2-6 in Denver.
He's 2-6 in Denver, and his two wins came against like Tim Tebow and Jake Delhomme. Hmm. And if you know anything about those Bronco teams, Tim Tebow took them to the playoffs.
Say that five times.
Yeah, Tim Tebow took them to the playoffs. But you know, Jake Delhomme had some okay years. I think they might have went to the playoffs, but those weren't.
Yeah.
Even Peyton Manning. The coach for Pittsburgh, I always want to say Coughlin, but it's not, it's Tomlin.
Yeah.
Tomlin said at halftime, we're playing a cat and mouse game with Peyton Manning.
Right.
And that's really what it was. It was the old man that used his mind and his limited set of skills to still defeat the young team.
You said the defense won that game, kept him in that game, in the running game. How do you feel like the defense is going to hold up against Tom Brady, guarding Gronkowski, trying to find Amendola? I think they got a lot they have to do.
I think it's a lot, but you got some people that are healthy on our side of the ball too this time. Because I think Von Miller ended up going out with an injury, and we were short two defensive backs that had gone out in the first quarter with injuries against that first game. And we still were able to pull out the victory there. It was a team effort by everybody, and Brock Osweiler was in that game. He started. He threw some awesome passes. And in that game, it was majorly snowy conditions.
Yeah.
And if you do, you just gave me the weather report because we're both traveling this weekend. I'm heading to Denver, and there's a snowstorm coming through.
Ooh.
So there's going to be snow, and it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a tight game. But once again, I think the Broncos are going to pull this off. They're the number one seeded team, and I'm going with statistics, you know. I just don't like the Patriots.
Well, I don't like them either. And I think
no one does.
And the other thing is, I think you have a much better time in Denver next week if they win.
Man, look, it's going to be two weekends of turn up in Denver. Cause one turn up Sunday, if we win. Okay.
Right.
Turn up Sunday when Super Bowl starts.
Right.
And then after that, turn up when everything goes on sale and I get to get my wardrobe right.
Yeah.
Coach Brown, let me ask you about these quarterbacks. This will be the oldest quarterback matchup in the history of the NFL.
Battle of the
39 and 38.
The Senior Bowl.
The Senior Bowl.
We have the Senior Bowl for college, and then we're going to have the Senior Bowl for NFL. Same week.
The Senior Tour.
Senior Bowl, man.
Senior NFL.
Man, you know what? I'm anxious to see it. I think it's appropriate. You know, it has been, it's kind of like you would hope to see the LeBron and Kobe championship before he leave, yeah, or Steph or whatever. Right. You actually get to see the Brady Manning Bowl go down before Manning hangs up the cleats. Because I'm almost 197% sure Manning's going to up, you know, hang up the cleats.
Yeah.
Brady's going to keep rocking, but Manning's done. Dude. And he's going to go out at the hands of Brady, unfortunately.
You think Brady's going to win?
I know Brady's going to win.
I don't think so, man.
Wow. I know. I just think because Peyton Manning can't move that offense. And Bill Belichick is a great coach. Brady's going to score points because Belichick is going to put him and other players in position. They have Gronkowski. They're going to score points. It's going to be a big problem for Manning to score with Belichick knowing he can't throw the ball 13 yards down the field.
I agree. And I think at some point you're going to see Osweiler come in this game.
That's the only way they even have a chance.
Ask you that. What's the least? Like, I asked you that last week.
I'm going to say if he throws two picks, he's out of there. If he throws two picks in the first half and it's not close, if they're not within 10 within the first half, I think he's out.
Yeah. That's what I think is contingent upon score.
Even if it's like, 17-7.
He's still in there. That's the thing. I think if it's a three to four possession game, then we may see Osweiler.
Yeah.
Anything less than 3 to 4 possessions kept in the game, they'll let Brady go on Manning ride out. Cause at the end of the day, the likelihood of Osweiler coming in there and beating Brady is slim to none.
Well, I mean, he did it before.
Yeah.
So, not in the playoffs.
No, it wasn't in the playoffs, but it was.
Brady is different.
But it was in Denver. And so my thing is this. They had a tough time defending him last time. The kid throws a really good deep ball. He's 6'7" himself. He's 250 himself. He can move a little bit. He had good years while he was at Arizona. So I think, and Bill Belichick is a great coach. I think, of course, they're planning for Brock Osweiler too. They're making a game plan for him. But I just feel, when you add the aspect of being able to throw the deep ball, you have your defensive backs can't play up as much. You got, like you said, you can't throw a ball 13 yards. So why does the safety even have to play 20, 25 yards deep? He can always bump up.
Yeah.
And if you go beyond my 15 yard barrier, then I have to play back. So that's always keeping the field short, which is, once again, affecting the running game.
Yeah. We know I like the Denver defense a lot in this game. I think they're going to give Brady a lot of trouble because they're going to hit Brady.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get
to him. They're going to hit Brady. That's one of the things you have to do to beat him is you got to hit him.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, Gronk got hurt the last time they played in this stadium. Okay? So he's going to be
a little timid
a little bit. And then, of course, you know, Brady has lost there many a time in Denver. You know, the moment may be very, very big. The crowd's going to be into it. You're going to be there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to add my whole thing to the mix. You know. Look, I'm telling you, when I land Sunday, I'm going by the stadium purposely just to boo at Tom Brady, just so I can get mine in.
You're going to throw the window down and start booing.
I dare you to throw a deflated football at him.
Oh, man. I'm just going to throw one on the field, and I ain't had no ticket anyway. So.
Yeah. And a camcorder.
Yeah.
Right.
A deflated football and a camcorder.
Oh, man. Say, let me get press passes to that game.
Man.
Pre-game interview.
Yeah, I don't want to see you on channel, on ESPN Sports Center. On Shaq and the Fool.
But they see the Denver Broncos defensive ends already called Brady a crybaby. You know?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Here you go. We're going to see a lot of this. Reset the play clock. They're hitting me low. They're hitting me hard. You know what? It's called football, Tom Brady. Some people get hurt. Some people win championships. It's part of the game.
And he wins championships.
He does. He does.
Coming off an injury.
Yeah, coming off an injury. So the thing about it is play it. Everybody gets hit. He's a crybaby. That's part of that mental thing. I hope they play future songs too.
I got a question. I have a question for Mr. Fisher.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Who do you predict to win the Super Bowl?
Man.
Since we gave our picks already.
Yeah, I know. I said Carolina.
Because I'm dabbing.
I'm picking Carolina to win it all.
Already.
But I also think that Denver can win it all, too.
Denver?
I think they can. I think Denver can win it all, man.
Smart man.
I really do.
Denver?
I'm telling you, that defense is good enough to win.
They hold them in the game, bro. Watching that Pittsburgh game.
They're good enough to win, man. They're good enough to win, I'm telling you.
That Pittsburgh game, and I'm not taking anything away from the defense. Ben Roethlisberger was finding some open guys.
He did a lot better than I thought he would do.
The defense was just making some tackles. The bend but don't break defense, like you always say. That's exactly what they did. They kept them in that game. And they just had some
two points. That's the difference.
You look at the four teams that are left right now. Rank the defenses of those four teams.
Carolina,
Denver.
You say Carolina and Denver, right?
Yeah.
And then that's why I say those Patriots two teams could win it all. They could win it all. And really, you could flip a coin and say Carolina on one day and Denver on another day. I mean,
because of the quarterback position is so crucial.
But Denver's. I'm talking about the defense alone.
That's what I'm saying.
Denver defense is not giving up 24 points in one half. But
they ain't played Cam in the Super Bowl.
It's gonna be a tough.
It's gonna be tough, man.
It's gonna be tough.
But every I don't see them getting there anyway. So
you know what? I see them getting there. If they there, I'm cheering the whole time for my squad.
Yeah.
And I'm cheering for Cam because Cam Newton is a great quarterback. I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah.
But if they lose, I'm going to be sad and upset. But Monday, I'm going to go buy some stuff.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So we'll be coming to you guys live next Tuesday on location.
Yeah.
We'll get a live report from Denver.
Oh, man.
And a live report from Kansas
going
City.
Dying. I might go to a bar.
And Coach Rob will be here in Dallas. So it'll be a tri-city thing.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, I'm going
to
go
hit him for mile three angles.
Yeah, I'm trying to go to a bar and with my cell phone.
There you go. That'd be fun. Make sure you guys go to the website, ntsgame.com, download the show, check us out on iTunes, all that good stuff. Thank y'all for listening. We see y'all next week. I'm with Dean Fish, and we out.
Boom.
Write this, queen, I ain't seen you in a minute.